Okay, so I'm going to talk about the other man. Dennis Johnson is the first story in one of the packets, and there's one. So first I'll give you some background on Dennis Johnson. He was born in 1949 in Munich, and then was raised in Tokyo, Manila, and Washington, D.C. And actually, in most of the articles I could find about him, they all mention the fact that he was really reclusive, so it was hard to find out exactly what he did in his life. And what I did find out was that he studied at the University of Iowa with Raymond Carver. And since he was a teenager, he had struggled with alcoholism and other drug abuse, and his experiences with alcohol and drugs served as the basis for Jesus' Son, which is the short story collection that The Other Man is taken from. And also just one other short thing. Last year, he won the National Book Award in 2000, yeah, last year, for Tree of Smoke, which is about the Vietnam War. But looking at The Other Man, the one thing that I wanted to focus on was the way that the various narrative voices in the story sort of reflect the disjointed nature of it, but at the same time, he still manages to draw the reader in and establish a sense of closeness with what's happening. And the story itself really could be divided, I guess, into four parts. There's the first part where he's talking to the Polish man who actually turns out to be from Cleveland. And then there's the part where he's on the street trying to get into his friend's apartment. And then after that, the random hospital scene. And then the last scene with the woman at the very end. So if you just start at the beginning, the first sentence is actually a really good example of how he creates a distance but still pulls you into the story. Because it starts off, "But I never finished telling you about the two men." And just that sentence in itself, because it's a fragment, gives this sense of disjointedness and also the sense that there's something, the story's incomplete, that there's something that still has to be said. So immediately you're pulled into it because you want to know who the two men are or what he was telling you about, but you still don't really have any sense of direction. And he continues with that because he goes on and tells you about this one person. He doesn't talk about two men. He talks about this Polish guy he met on a boat. And the entire section where he's talking to the Polish man, the sentence length is something I noticed there. If you look in the second paragraph on the first page, the sentence that starts, "I'm sure," goes into the end of that paragraph. It's just one sentence. The next two paragraphs are also just one sentence. And by doing this, he gives you a sense of a much more traditional story. It flows really easily, and you just sort of go through it without thinking about anything. And you get that same sense on page 107 when the Polish man is talking. Because even if the sentences are shorter, all the commas and the way he speaks just give this rambling sense that the story flows forward. And one other thing gives this part a sense of coherence. If you look at the paragraph that crosses page 106 to 107, he starts to use the plural first person narrator here. It goes into we, and until then, it basically stays with him and the Polish man. He's together with him, so it's a sense of coherence and inclusion. And so you assume it's going to be a normal story until you get to the part on 108 where the guy comes back and says, "I'm not Polish, I'm from Cleveland." And immediately that just completely changes the tone of the story, and you see that with how he changes the sentences and how he changes how he's relating the story. Because after he finds out he's from Cleveland, the sentences become shorter and they become much more matter-of-fact. There's almost nothing devoted to the description that you can find in the first part. And the most striking example of this I found is in the part where he's yelling up at this possibly German woman in the apartment in the street. It's what seems like it would be a kind of impassioned dialogue, but the way he tells it seems kind of boring and matter of fact. On page 110, he says, "Jesus Christ, you bitch," but there's nothing to suggest that he's yelling that. It's just, there's no special punctuation. It gives a sense of complete disconnectedness from what's actually happening. And yet, at the same time as he does this, he gives little insights into what he's thinking. Like, on page 109, he says, "Fanatically religious utterances seem to quiver on her lips." And on page 110, he says, "I imagine jamming her into a roaring fireplace." So even as we get the sense that we're distanced from this scene because everything's happening in such a matter-of-fact manner, these brief moments of insight pull us closer to the narrator, which is really strange because it makes him seem like he's the only real thing in the piece, and we're right next to him. And this continues into the part that I found the most interesting, the hospital part where he's looking at the hospital from across the street, and all of a sudden it goes into what he's thinking about the two men in the hospital. And that, just those two paragraphs, they do a lot of things. They pull us even closer to the narrator, and they pull us closer into what's happening in the story. But at the same time, it augments the sense of disjointedness that we have, because it's in no way connected to anything else that's happening. The most obvious way that he does that is it changes tense right there. It goes into the present tense. And in the story, because it was in the past tense, you have no idea what's going on. And the last sentence of that passage where he says, "But do you think one is ever going to visit the other one's grave?" Again, just sets it completely apart because it's in second person again. But at the same time, this is almost the point where you're most involved in the story, because the fact that it's in present tense gives the sense that it's happening right now and it's ongoing, and it's the idea that the narrator is thinking at this moment he's creating a story about the two men in the hospital. So you get a sense of immediacy there that's not present in the rest of the story, and he continues with that sense of immediacy with the second person passage when he specifically says, "Do you think one is ever going to visit the other one's grave?" That brings you into the story as closely as you can be brought into the story. It's a throwback also to the first line where he says, "I never finished telling you about the two men." So again, we find this sense of urgency that was present at the start of the story, which then completely goes away in the next part. So again, that creates this really bizarre sense of distance, even as you're very invested in the story and you want to know what's going to happen to the narrator and you want to know what the narrator is thinking. And so then there's finally the last part, which is a complete turnaround from being involved in the story. The sentences degenerate into fragments by the end. They're very short, and there's nothing devoted to any kind of description. He just relates exactly what happened. Even the dialogue, in this sense, is really disconnected. It says, "Maybe we could get a motel room," on page 112. "It depends on how much money you have." "Not enough." "Not enough," I admitted. The way he does this, just the fact that the sentences are so short and don't address you whatsoever, I'm not really sure what it means for the rest of the story, because at this point, we've gone from wanting to know what happens in the story and being invested in it to having no idea what's going on, especially the very last paragraph, where it's not clear what he's talking about. They're just fragmented images that arise. And so what I guess then, since that was mostly what I wanted to talk about, what I was wondering for discussion of the story, why he creates this sense of distance, this sense of disconnectedness, even as he pulls you further and further into the story, and what the point of that would be. I don't have any thoughts on that.